The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. After the song, please stay tuned for a message of God's sovereign grace.
To Canaan's land I long.
Now notice that first phrase in verse 3. They sung as it were a new song before the throne. Now, surely there'll be God's children in heaven that never knew the truth here. Otherwise, there's not going to be very many people in heaven. Matter of fact, the great majority will probably be people that never understood the full truth of the gospel here. But in heaven, they will understand the truth fully. They will understand maybe for the first time, that Jesus saved them. Amen. They'll understand it there. But I believe the specific meaning here is speaking of how that we'll have a greater understanding. It'll be an unprecedented singing in the sense that we'll have full comprehension with regard to our salvation. Notice this can be supported by what Paul said about our view of heaven while we're here. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, he says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." So when he talks about they sang a new song in heaven, he's speaking of greater understanding, clarity, freshness, a type of singing and experience that they never had here in this world, no matter how much truth they understood. They sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And watch this. "And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." Obviously, the only Jews that can worship the Lord and sing that song are His elect, who have His name written in their foreheads. That is, they're born again, they're sealed. Those are the only ones that have the ability to do that. But notice they're also referred to as those that are redeemed from the earth. Now later on he's going to talk about those that were redeemed from among men. So what's the difference? When he says here that they were redeemed from the earth, he's speaking of the resurrection. Now, I recognize that most often when you think about redemption and when you read about it in the Bible, it's speaking specifically about what Jesus did on the cross. But notice in Romans chapter 8, verse 23, the second part of that verse says, "We ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." What are we waiting on today? What were those people that Paul wrote to about 25 or 30 years after Jesus had come into this world and died on the cross and was buried and rose again? What were they waiting on? He says, "We're waiting for the adoption, to wit," that is, when adoption is complete, here's what will be witnessed: the redemption of our body. Until the Lord gets your body, redemption has not been completed. And so here in Revelation 14, John has this view of God's people among the Jews worshiping Him in heaven, and he describes them as those which were redeemed from the earth. Now you say, "Brother Buddy, well, the resurrection had not yet taken place when John wrote the Revelation." Remember, this is just giving you a picture and an idea of worship in heaven. We don't have to take the position that, well, that can't be referring about the resurrection, because when John wrote this, it hadn't happened yet and it still hasn't transpired today. No, this is just giving you an understanding of who is in heaven, why they're there, and what they're doing. Now, verse 4, he shifts the focus. He says, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins." Now, why does he identify that particular trait about them? You know, many things could be said to speak of the kind of people that are in heaven. Now, that doesn't mean that you get there based on good works. You know, if you read in Matthew 25, let's just turn to that a minute to establish that they didn't get to heaven as a result of not defiling themselves with women, but they're there because they're among the Lord's sheep. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, "Then shall the King," that is Jesus, capital G, "say unto them on his right hand," that is the sheep, not the goats, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom," listen, "inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." It was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, but he goes on to say, "For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." See, he's not saying that these are in heaven because they did these good works, but rather these are identifying characteristics of God's children who are born of the Spirit. That doesn't mean that children of God never disobey Him. That doesn't mean that we all persevere in good works, but there is a vital difference between the sheep and the goats. And the sheep inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. So with that in mind, read Revelation 14, verse 4. "These elect Jews in heaven that are worshiping the Lord are they which were not defiled with women." Now, why does he point out that particular trait, that they were not defiled with women? Well, he says, "For they are virgins." In other words, they have not committed adultery. They have not been with different women. Now, what does that mean? Well, you remember throughout the Old Testament, what was Israel's problem? What was the problem with the Jewish people? Well, look first of all in Exodus chapter 34. And there's a word that's used many times in the Old Testament when God's people were rebellious, and that word is whoring. W-H-O-R-I-N-G. That's a Bible word, so I can say it from the pulpit. Notice in Exodus chapter 34 and beginning with verse 11 how this is described. "Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." And then skip down to verse 16 for the sake of, well, let's just go ahead and read all of it. Verse 15. "Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods." Now, we know that they were many among the Jews, we don't know how many, but they were all not God's elect people that were predestinated unto the adoption of children. Now you may say, well, Brother Buddy, how do you know that? Well, go to Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. Now there are other places we could look, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to read this one. Romans 2, 28. Says, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now I will read one more. Notice in Romans chapter 9, verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. What in the world is that talking about? They are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, here's an explanation. They which are the children of the flesh, that is the descendants of Abraham, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. That's not saying that none of Abraham's descendants are children of God. It's saying that's not what makes you a child of God. He says these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. And if you keep reading, you know, it talks about election and Jacob and Esau, who were both descendants from that line. But God loved one and hated the other. So when he speaks of God's elect Jews in heaven who have not defiled themselves with women, I believe he uses that particular character trait because that was such a constant problem among them in the Old Testament. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 16. There's multiple examples of this. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt not sleep with thy fathers, and this people will, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither thou go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Now again, when he talks about those in heaven that have not defiled themselves with women, he's not saying that their works got them to heaven. But in the same way the sheep are identified by their behavior and the goats are identified by their behavior, generally speaking, God's people are identified by their fruit. Does it not say in 2 Timothy chapter 1, about verse 9, that God hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began? The New Testament makes it clear that our works are not the means by which we are eternally saved. But at the same time, God's people, generally speaking, can be identified by the fruit they bear. So here in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 4, he says, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now let's just look at one word there for the sake of time. He says they weren't defiled with women. They followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Does that describe you? Do you follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth? He says they were redeemed from among men. You remember earlier he talked about them being redeemed from the earth, speaking of the resurrection. Here he refers to them as redeemed from among men. That's the doctrine of election. Not all the Jewish people, naturally speaking, are in heaven, but rather these elect, described as the 144,000. But he says they're redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So lastly, let's try to understand that word, first fruits. One of the simplest passages to look at in order to understand that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, "For as in Adam all die," he's speaking here in the context of physical death, not the fall of Adam. "As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." You see that? We're not the firstfruits. Christ is. He's the firstfruits. He will come at a later time and resurrect the dead. So he's the first fruits. But notice also in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, this will unlock why he refers there in Revelations 14 to the elect Jews as being first fruits. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." You remember Jesus did not send the disciples unto the Samaritans or others, but he said, "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." They received the gospel first. That is, it was preached to them first. Some of them didn't receive it. As a matter of fact, so many of them didn't receive it that Paul said, "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles." But the point here in Revelation 14 and verse 4, when he describes these in heaven as being the first fruits of God unto God and to the Lamb, he's again just using terminology to let you know that he's talking about not all of the elect in general, but God's elect among the Jews in particular. Now you may say, "Well, Brother Buddy, that leaves me out. I'm not one of those." And we're not going to address this tonight, but I'll just read verse 6. Listen to this. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." So you see, that begins to embrace God's people outside of the Jewish elect. That embraces you and I. And Lord willing, we'll continue there next time.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com. Or you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.